if we ever to look for something to praise God for, once again, we can stop right there. So if we'll open up our Bibles to Matthew 18. You know, we always look at this to see how we should deal with an offending brother or sister. But I want to look at it a little bit differently tonight, and yet partially the same. But I want us to look at these verses and see what the context is. So I'm going to go ahead and read chapter 18 here. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and saying, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of the offenses, for it must needs that offenses come, but woe unto that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off, and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee. It is far better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth unto the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more than of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, and go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask it, and it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, How oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore, therefore the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants, and when he had begun to reckon, one brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, I will repay thee all. Then the Lord of the servant, which was moved with compassion, and loosed him and forgave him his debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and laid his hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and he besought him, saying, Have patience with me, I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desiredest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servants, even as I have pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him unto the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. Likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. I think Jesus was talking, a lot of this is, if you have a red-lettered Bible, you'll see a lot of this was Jesus talking and telling his disciples here that, especially there in the last part, if we slow down and we think about the chapter and what are we supposed to do if a brother offends us? Well, we're supposed to go and talk to him. But I think furthermore, if you read in the earlier portions of the chapter, are we to be offended to begin with? Now, there are times when it goes into and it's talking about through verses 7 through 10, I think. It's talking about the children, and if he's offending the children, and we are the children of God. Well, if he's offending the body, then there's a problem. And then it even goes further on, and woe unto the offenses that come, and woe unto the ones that bring the offenses, and woe unto the one in which offenses come. You know, it says it's going, I think Jesus is saying here basically, we're going to find something to be offended about. But is it a big deal? Does it hurt more than one person? As if it just hurts you, well, then maybe early on we see that Jesus goes into the the Bible goes into the disciples came unto Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And then Jesus goes into, and Jesus called the little child and said unto him, in the midst of them, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, and the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive, sorry, let me, So the chapter is it's going into the disciples want to know who's the best. Then Jesus starts talking to them about offenses and being offended and things like that. I think that there's a big issue of pride when we get offended about something. We go into me, I was hurt, my hurt, and we stop considering others, and we stop thinking about, well, what is a little riffle here or a riffle going to do here? If I get in a fight with my brothers and sisters, well, in the world, we pretty well accept that brothers and sisters are going to fight. I think there's two back there, and they've been mean mugging each other. You see that? It's going to happen, and we can see this. Jesus says it's like offenses are going to happen. We live in a world, but woe unto them. You know, when we have a fight, God looks down at that. As a parent, and I see my children fighting, there's a problem there, and it's a heart issue. And usually, it's the one who's offended the most probably has the biggest heart issue. For starters, we get further down into this. Who am I to hold a grudge or hold anything over my brothers and sisters' heads? Who am I? We go to Isaiah chapter 14, where we see Lucifer saying, I'll be like the Most High. Myself. I don't think that's intended for Christians to be acting as Satan. I'm upset about so-and-so. If we go over to Philippians 2 and 1 through 9, if we'll turn there real quick. I think that this is talking very much so about church settings, both passages here. And then in 1 and 9, Philippians 2, 1 through 9. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of man, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not on every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So, brothers and sisters, what are we supposed to do? If a brother offends us, if a brother has offended me, am I supposed to be offended? No, I don't think so. Not by these passages. If a brother or sister offends the church, I believe that's a different matter. If we get back into chapter 18, then I think it's an okay ordeal to take it to the next step, to go ahead and go through the proper church matters. But if it's just me, offended, and in fact, I read into this maybe more than I should have, but let's see if I can find it again. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it would be better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. I don't know if he's talking to little children or if he's talking to his little children here. Now, if you're saved, and I, like I said, I was wrong yesterday. I could be wrong again tomorrow and today, but I do believe that he's talking directly to us as a church body. In both passages here, they both have a similar building point. In fact, if you go over to Philippians, you get to the start there. If there be any consolation in Christ, he's saying if there be any Christ in you, which if you are saved, is the only way there's any Christ in you, and you are saved. If any fellowship, well, what is church? It's a fellowship of people. It's the body of Christ. And we go back to, we look at the two passages, and now there are important things for us to look at one to another. It's like, do I have a right to be offended? Has he offended and did the offense take place? Is that it's going to hurt little children? Is it going to hurt new Christians? Those are the times when we start to escalate it. If it's just hurting me, I believe that these passages have said, get over it. And we get into the rest of Scripture where it says, be tender-hearted, loving, kind one toward another. I believe that we're... I keep seeing these things about church trauma. I think that Jesus says the church trauma is going to happen. Right here, it's like, you know what, people are going to get hurt inside of churches because we're a bunch of idiots and we're going to hurt one another because we're idiots. I'm the chief offender, I think is what Paul would say. I like to be silly and goof off with people, and sometimes I think that they take me seriously. Heidi tells me that, what if they take you seriously? I'm like, well, I'm sorry. If we get offended in a church, it needs to be carefully brought forward. First of all, we need to check ourselves. Is it because I'm being proud? Is it because I've gotten a big head and somebody cut me back down to size? I have a big head and there's not many people that can cut me down to size. But is it me? That's the first question I think that we need to ask. Is it me? And then there's a whole lot of other things that we can do. Check our pride at the door. That's a big one. Pride is such an easy thing to creep into our lives and start building. And well, I used to be, you know, I used to be the youth director downstairs. I used to be telling all the Sunday school teachers where they were teaching and doing all these things. And I'm glad I'm not, but there are times when I'm like, oh, we should have done it this way. We should do things differently. I'm like, no, it's not my place anymore. Anyway, I was going to talk a little. Church trauma is a real thing, but it ought not to be. It ought not to be us as a church. Not to be us as a family. You know, you'll see broken families because one One brother or sister won't talk to the others. One brother or sister got hurt or left out. 9 times out of 10, it's because we misinterpret what was said. We misinterpret how it was done. Scripturally, we're in Corinthians 13, I think it is, we're supposed to love one another, right? Love always hopes the best. If you can find something that somebody said that maybe it hurt you, maybe you're misinterpreting it. Maybe you can turn it around. The greatest thing is that Matthew 18 here tells us, well, if you and you have hurt each other, then go to each other and talk about it first. Because what if it was just a misinterpretation? As oftentimes it is. You know, I have a bad way of how I put words together because I'm slightly handicapped with speaking. And so I say silly things or stupid things, and I'm very easy to misinterpret. And it's because of who I am. It's not because of you. So just remember, if I've said something that hurt you, I would love to talk to you about it and fix it the right way, because I will bet that it was because we were misunderstanding one another. I've recently had a brother or sister that was talking to me, and they took some things out that I had said, and they kind of took them out of context and twisted them around, and I was kind of authoritative about correcting them on how I said things, and they took it poorly, because I was very much a matter of fact, so because what they were doing was wrong, and I had an opportunity to clarify what I said, because they took it and they took parts and pieces of it, because we're humans and we like to listen to the good parts and edit out the rest, or we like to listen to the parts that really make us sound one way or the other. We're very much so biased in how we listen and what we hear. But I get the main part of this is, what right do I have to be upset at my brothers and sisters? Is when Christ tells me to esteem them higher than myself, Christ tells me he forgave me, oughtn't I to forgive my brothers and sisters? In fact, it goes on to say that if I won't forgive, I'm the wicked one. It doesn't tell me that they have to come and ask for it. Just forgive them. The debt I owed, I couldn't pay. All too often, pride gets in the way of what we're doing and how we're acting one towards another, or how we're interpreting one another. It's me. I'm in the way of what Christ wants to do. So I would say that probably the biggest part of this, of how to deal with offenses between brothers and sisters, is first, check your pride. Was it just me? Before we bring it to another person, is it just something that I took the wrong way? There are many ways we can go about it. Is it going to hurt somebody else? Well, it may if you don't go and correct it properly. So important that we make sure that we're behaving properly one towards another, because the rest of the world is watching. They're waiting for us to fail. And we will, because we're human, but boy, we ought to forgive real quick. God and sinners reconciled. Brothers and sisters ought to be reconciled also. And I'm talking immediate family, but I'm talking church family. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord, and we just pray that you'll help us to learn how we ought to deal with our brothers and sisters, Lord, and with the fences inside the church, Lord, and help us to check those questions, Lord. Is it me? Lord, help us to check our pride at the door, Lord. Make sure that our feelings are getting out of the way before yours, and make sure that it's a proper offense before we go starting talking to our brothers and sisters and start trying to bring the matter higher up the chain. Lord, I wish that we could all say that we're all perfect and we'll never hurt one another, but Lord, it's clear that even in your word that it's just going to happen, Lord, and that we need to have a proper way of dealing with it, Lord, and that we'll check ourselves first. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.